I don't feel safe.
He won't leave me alone.
I'm really concerned about my roommate.
How do I file a report?
Can anyone help me?
Street 12, en route for Pauly.
This is the Ride Along, created by Campus Security and Public Safety for the Gonzaga community.
Welcome, everyone, to the Ride Along, a podcast developed to discuss safety, identify resources on and off campus, inspire change, and build intentional relationships with our campus community. I'm your host, Philip Tyler, Crime Prevention and Education Officer with Campus Security and Public Safety. Today, we welcome Fasea Longo, President, Gonzaga Student Body Association. Fasea, welcome to the Ride Along.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me, Phil. I'm super excited to get a chance to talk about some security things, talk about, I think, my experience and be on the inaugural episode of the Ride Along. I was really excited to hear that the campus security team was putting it together, so I'm really grateful that I got asked to be on it.
Awesome. We're so excited to have you also, Fasea. So we're going to have a real conversation about women in leadership and the importance of representation. But let's begin with one thing that you're thankful for today or this week.
Oh, one thing. I think the sunshine. I know it's been gloomy for the past couple of days, but I feel like my mood, the vibe is just better when the sun comes out. So I'm really looking forward to sunnier days ahead. And I think, honestly, the sunshine coming out kind of is echoing or reflecting just, I think, where we're at as like a campus community. There's been a dark couple of months, a dark couple of days, and it just, the sunshine being out, really, you see the impact on people's moods and on like the day-to-day. So I'm really grateful for the sunshine these days.
Absolutely. Well said. And we hope your presence today brings some ray of light to the campus community.
Thank you. Phil, what are you thankful for?
Wow. I'm thankful for the opportunity to interview our GSBA president. And so you are the president of Gonzaga GSBA. Do you go by the title Madam President?
I don't. I'll answer.
Can I call you that?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Madam President.
Yeah. I think the title thing for me is sometimes weird at times because I am just a gal trying to do her job, but I think folks kind of have fun with it. So it's funny. It's kind of exciting. But.
Okay. So, well, thank you for stepping into this role, first of all, and we'll talk about the significance of that a little bit later. But we can both agree that women in leadership positions, and particularly Black women, are vitally important for representation. We can also agree that this is both a good thing and something wherein the numbers fall short of the need. So during this Women's History Month, can you speak to, for say, some of the history that you've made throughout your tenure here and your presidency?
Oh, big question. That's a really big question. I think just starting with Taylor is the vice president of the Gonzaga Student Body Association, so we serve together. And Taylor and I are the first woman duo to lead GSBA. So we've had quite a few years of leadership, and there's been like a female president or like a male VP, but there's never been like two women serving together.
Wow.
So I think that has really been kind of what the backbone of our leadership has been. And with doing that and with creating that, or like having that historic moment, we also understood like the excitement and like the challenges that would come out of that as well. Cause I know that sometimes in my experience being like a woman leader, people don't really take you as seriously because you're a woman. So
yeah.
I think that's something in our like initial conversations on how we would do this whole leadership thing was like, people might not take us as seriously because it's two women leading. And I think we've been in spaces where maybe our voices have been silenced because we're two women leading, but we really have fought against a lot of the adversity or a lot of the challenges and really stood our own or kind of stayed on our path and really advocated for students. And I think Taylor and I always joke that maybe we're not the most liked amongst people because we really try and like hold people accountable.
Okay.
And that comes in a lot of fiery emails or really just like asking questions that need to be asked. And that's just, I think, something I love about being like a woman and being like a strong woman or wanting to be a strong woman is trying not to be pushed into a box on what a woman is supposed to be. So I'm really grateful to get to serve with Taylor and get to really challenge some of those norms or challenge some of those ideas of what a woman leader is. Because no, I'm not bossy for holding you accountable or wanting you to like be better than something I think maybe is lackluster. That's just me trying to lead or see things through. So I think challenging my own notion of what it means to be a woman in leadership while serving with other women as well.
Wow. And that is historic. And, you know, I didn't even know that was the first tandem of female president and vice president. We do know that there's only been a couple or a few black women that have served in your role. I think maybe
one other.
Yeah. So that in itself is historic too. So talk about, how do you see yourself from a representation standpoint, from a female and from a black female?
Yes, from a representation standpoint, I know as a freshman, just coming into Gonzaga and knowing that I wanted to be a part of student government because I wanted to do, or because I did it in high school and I wanted to continue that because that's something that's been like really integral in my life, is getting to serve others and get to really be in places where I can like better other people's lives. And I think that student government is a great opportunity to do that. But sometimes student governments are not like the most diverse, or there aren't always people that look like me or maybe come from like similar backgrounds and experiences of me. But I know as a freshman, seeing Carlo Quintilla, the president from 4 years ago or 3 years ago, speak at a pre-orientation camp that I did was just like, oh my gosh, like I can do this too.
Okay.
And it was really cool this year looking through my emails and trying to find like an email from GSBA president, and finding the email my freshman year that I sent to Carlo asking how I could get involved in GSBA. And that was a moment for me to be like, oh wow, like I did it. Like I had like a goal for myself and I had something. And I don't think I could have done it without Carlo believing in me, or like seeing what Caleb Dawson had done before I got to Gonzaga. Because I think the whole time I've been at Gonzaga, I've heard about Caleb Dawson, and that's been like a reoccurring name. And that also encouraged me to feel like I could do this position, or feel like I could be in GSBA, is seeing the representation that came before me. And it kind of helped battle that imposter syndrome, to where it's like, I am a black woman at this university. There are not very many black women, let alone black folks at this university. So like,
let alone in a leadership position.
Yes. So like, can I do this position? Is there space for me? Am I taking up too much space? And it really is the folks who came before me that really made me realize that like this is a space that I can be in too. And it's been cool this year to get to see younger generation or younger ZAGs that are students of color, BIPOC students, ask me questions on how to get involved. I had a really cool conversation with a girl last week on, and she said that I and like another former president, Michael Snaka, had inspired her to want to be in GSBA because she saw that there are folks who like look like her who were doing these roles. And I honestly almost started crying on the Zoom.
Wow.
Because it was just cool. And it, sometimes you don't realize how important representation is opening those doors.
Oh boy.
But then when you hear stuff like that, and when you understand what the impact of it is on your own life, it's like, this means a lot. So I really look forward, or I look up to my mentors. I look up to the black folks on campus that are existing here. Phil, you're someone I look up to on campus.
Thank you.
Like Dr. Raven Mirage Lloyd, just like, seeing black folks, seeing like folks of color on this campus, like Joniva, paving the way and really being like voices for others in the spaces they exist in, has really encouraged me to continue doing that as well.
Wow. Wow. You talk about it almost bringing tears to your eyes. You know, your statement has me in my feelings right now. And you've answered the question, but I'll ask it again. Do you think it makes a difference when the Gonzaga community, and then the broader community, and then other universities that you might engage with, I assume that GSBA presidents engage with other entities, you think it makes a difference when they see you, a black woman, a woman in a leadership position?
I think so. I think that it pinpoints to the fact that like other folks can do this too.
Yeah.
And like, I know it's hard, especially a predominantly white institution, being a student of color, and not feeling like you have that agency or that space to move around maybe as freely as like your white peers. But probably seeing like a black woman in leadership is like, oh, like I can also be there.
Yes.
And I can also do that. And that isn't just like exclusive to like white students or like the majority of students on our campus. Like that's something that I can do too. And that's how I felt seeing the folks before me. And I'm really grateful for the folks before me. And I want to be that person for people too. So along with that representation thing, it's also making myself like available to questions, comments, concerns, and trying to like make sure. And when I stepped into this position, I really was kind of set on wanting to make Gonzaga look a bit better, or like feel a little bit better and more inclusive for folks who look like me, or folks who have like experiences like me, or don't really fit into that like typical Zag mold. So that's been like the root of a lot of my commentary this year, or like the work I've been doing with Taylor this year.
Yeah, so you talked about Gonzaga and PWI, predominantly white institution. So why did you choose Gonzaga? And then my second part of that question is then what drew you here, and then how has your experience been, right? It's been a tough year, pandemic, racial reckoning going forward. So talk about that. Step back, why Gonzaga? And then tell us, after you made that determination, what drew you in, and then how's your experience been?
Yeah, I just remember my senior year really doing my college search and being like, I want to go to the biggest school possible, the largest school, 30,000, 40,000, just, I want to drown within like the student body. Because my high school in Colorado is the largest high school in Colorado. Okay. So I thought I really wanted like a really large school to where I just could float within it.
When you say float, do you mean like just be ambiguous, be one of 40,000?
I thought that I wanted like the larger the better, because that was what my high school experience was. And it was like you could find your space, but there's so much out there. And I think that the more I looked at Gonzaga and the more I researched what the community meant and what the values were behind the school, like the more I was like, okay, this is where I want to be. And I was lucky enough to have friends who went to my high school that were at Gonzaga. So when I was like, I'm coming to Spokane, I'm touring. I came in February of my senior year for a preview visit, and my friends from high school took me on a tour of Gonzaga.
Okay.
And I just saw people being so kind and genuine with one another. And I know, as cliche as it sounds, like the holding the door open thing, it's just like people are really excited that you're here.
When you say holding the door, though, since this is the ride along at Campus Security, they weren't letting you in as an unknown person to spaces you shouldn't
get
into.
Never that.
No, please continue.
So that was just, it just made me feel so warm. And as I walked through campus, I was like, this is really a place that I can see myself. And I remember vividly after my tour with them, I got back to the hotel room with my mom and I just started crying.
Wow.
Because I was like, Mom, this is where I need to be. Yes, this is home. And I just felt this like gut feeling that like Gonzaga is the place for me.
Okay.
And a part of that is the mission and the social justice and the people for other thing. And I think that that's what I really tried to root my existence at Gonzaga. And there have been a lot of tough days. This year especially has been really difficult.
Yeah, speak to that. You talked about their mission of social justice. And we know, going back pre-pandemic, there's been some tough situations that we've had to deal with as a Gonzaga community and a broader Spokane community. So talk about that and wrap that in your experiences at the university.
Yeah. There's been a lot of tough days, like I was saying. I think my first day, like my first official day of being president, I was the day that the Kennedy apartment, like SWAT vehicle thing.
Oh, yeah, the bomb team.
Yes, it was there. And I just remember getting these text messages, and it's like, what is going on? So then I reached out to our university president, and I was like, hey, you told me that this is, like, that we should be transparent with one another, and this is a collaborative effort. This is me coming to you in a effort of collaboration.
So he was real collaborative. You just said, look, hey.
Yeah.
not like, sir, your honor, Mr. President, just, hey, what's going on?
Definitely, sir. but I was really grateful for his openness and his willingness to work with me on that and hear me out. And I think that it, within everything that's happened, there's been a lot of like open conversations and spaces where I could like really be like, hey, from a student of color perspective, things are not like they probably should be here, or things are difficult here. My experience has been very, like, maybe adverse to the typical Gonzaga experience, and I think that this year especially has been, like, a really challenging one to be a student of color on campus, and I've had a really hard time being, like, a leader on campus, like, a Black woman running an organization or running or working alongside folks to really hold the university accountable for its mission and make sure that we're supporting all students. So you
speak to a difficulty you've had as a leader, and you know, for those of you that are listening in, I've worked with Vasay during her presidency, and she is one of the easiest persons to work with, the easiest leaders to work with, and you tackle every issue that comes up directly. I guess I'm looking from outward in. I don't see any struggle with you leading in that. So speak to how that has been difficult. I mean, has it been administration? Has it been students? Has it been other campus partners?
I think just this year has been, or first off, the COVID pandemic has been a huge readjustment, because I think that last year I got like a transition binder and we didn't know that we'd still be in a pandemic then. So I think I had to really like do a lot of learning in the role, and I've been really grateful for the folks that I've been working with that have given me grace to learn in this position. And that's something that Taylor and I are really big on, is giving each other grace and like giving folks the space to learn. And
I appreciate that.
So I like to extend that same space to other people. But I think that it's just been, sometimes it's like hard to, there's been like a lot of long hours, I think, and that's all stuff that I expected in the position, but I feel like a lot of the time in this role is just in conversations, and sometimes like diversity inclusion work is tiring, or continuously being like one of the only, or like the only students in an area with like administration is tiring. And then like being a Black student on this campus after the Zoom bombing on the BSU is really I think emotionally, physically, mentally draining. I think that was one of my hardest weeks on campus, because I am feeling this like this tension between being like a Black leader at this white institution and also being in these spaces where I'm advocating as like a student leader, but also like as a student who is impacted by this stuff. So I was really grateful for my team and them allowing me the space to kind of like grieve or grow or kind of process the situation and taking some of like the weight off of me that week, because it was really challenging. And I also give a lot of props to Faith, the president of BSU, for navigating that situation, because I think that was a really tough time to be a Black student this campus.
And you're a student. That is first and foremost.
I'm taking classes,
And do you, has this year felt like you've had to also be an educator to administrators, to other students, because you're a Black woman in this position?
Yeah, I think that sometimes, there are so many connotations that people place next to being a Black woman. So it's like the Black woman therapist.
Okay.
Or like the Black woman like jokester, or the Black woman like caretaker.
Yes, yes.
So I feel like in my life, I've taken on a lot of those different roles. And I think sometimes as a leader, it's like balancing between like how do I view myself and also how do folks view me?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that sometimes like a weight that I have stepping into spaces with like administration is I don't want to be seen as like an angry Black woman.
Yes, ma'am.
Being very like moved and passionate about the things that I'm talking about. But I also want to get my point across and like gain that same respect. And I think that I've been lucky to have like situations in which like the folks that I've been working with have believed me and like supported me and been like, yes, this is something that we were working towards. And I think there's been a lot of collaborative efforts in the time that I've been like doing the job. It's just that I think sometimes the work along with like my own personal identities, like being a Black woman, is they just like compound together to where it's like, oh, I never get rest, or like,
yes,
yeah, but
yes.
I just have such a good team And I feel really affirmed in a lot of the spaces that I'm in, yeah. even though that there are like situations like the Zoom bombing and where
Absolutely.
I don't feel super affirmed.
Okay.
But then that reminder that like you matter, you belong here, the mm. work you're doing is valid.
Yeah.
And then that representation piece on how like I'm experiencing this, like students who look like me are experiencing this, but hopefully students who look like us don't have to experience it after this year. So
okay.
I know that that was
okay.
one of the biggest motivating factors when the Zoom bombing was happening is like, I hope that these conversations I'm having will really like reiterate the fact that no students should have to experience this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Before we go any further, let's recognize your team. You as a leader, you do a wonderful job of giving homage, paying homage to your team. So let's take a brief moment and recognize them. I hope they're listening. And let's recognize them. Who are those team members that have helped you?
I have just such an awesome team. The folks that I work together the closest with are our cabinet members. So Taylor is like my right-hand gal. She's student body vice president. We've got our chief of staff, Caroline Sonnen, who is like the glue that keeps our cabinet together, keeps our organization together. Dan Weinberger is our student body treasurer. Sorry, my brain, the gears. And Phoebe Tang is our attorney general. She's awesome.
Okay.
She works really closely with Charlotte Lowe, who is our speaker of the Senate, and Charlotte leads Senate, which is just such an integral part of our organization. I'm so glad that I've gotten the opportunity to get to like work closely with the senators this year. And then Soleil Rain is our communications director. Her team does a fabulous job in letting folks know what's going on at the university. And I just am so grateful for all of their work and all of
wow.
Soleil's work. Haley Wilson is our director of diversity and inclusion. The D&I team has a very special spot in my heart because I served for 2 years on
yeah.
that team.
Yeah.
And Haley is just doing such a fabulous job. The Zags for Black Lives Matter t-shirts was like a lot of her or all of her idea. She had an internship with Starbucks this past summer where they did the t-shirt, so she brought that to Gonzaga.
Okay.
And she just leads her team so gracefully. Caitlin Orsino is our director of clubs and organizations, and she's really responsible for like making new clubs happen on our campus, which is huge. That's a really big part of our student experience. And then Keely Petticord is our director of campus events, which really helps bring folks in and like helps folks know what the Gonzaga community looks like outside of Gonzaga, maybe.
Wow.
She plans programming and events that really encourage students to really pop that Gonzaga bubble while also making fun things to happen. I don't know how she did it this year with the pandemic, but she did an awesome job of leading her team and
okay.
making virtual events, in-person events. And I think I'm trying to go down the line. I think that's everyone on our team. Yeah.
Wow.
And then,
wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, let's shout out to
shout
your
out
team.
To the
yeah,
team.
Respect. They've done a wonderful job in supporting you and the university and their fellow students. So
I don't know how I do it without them.
I don't know how any
leader
does.
I hope they know how much I love them.
Yeah, yeah. I think what you're modeling is leadership, right? True leaders know they can't do it alone, and they need a good team to work alongside them, right? And I think you're doing a good job of modeling that. So let's do this. Since this is the ride along, tell me what your experience has been with campus security and public safety.
Campus security. I was telling, I forget who I was sharing it with, but this week, actually, I was talking about how my first experience with campus security was getting the safety escorts from campus. I think I was trying to get from TUI to DUSO or DUSO to TUI or the library. And I was really afraid to walk at night because it gets
yeah,
spooky.
For sure.
We have like a pretty kind of dark campus, so I called campus security and folks were just so nice and they were like, we'll be there in a couple of minutes and we'll pick you up. And it was just never a burden for them, and it was always like, yes, of course we can do that.
Absolutely.
And it just like made me feel so safe. And I know that probably for them that was like a little thing that they have done, but it meant a lot for me, and it meant a lot for my friends, especially like freshman and sophomore year when we were really navigating through campus and having the opportunity or having the resource for this ability to be safer on campus. It seems so small, but safety is such a big thing.
Yeah, it is. Surely is for us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a great team, and I've gotten to work really close with you and Becky this year, and just like working on initiatives and trying to boost that connection between the students and campus security this year. And that's just been really cool to see kind of that like growth of this like relationship and this bond.
Yeah. And we'll talk to your legacy and what you've been doing and growing here. But it's also important to recognize that our relationship with you, per se, and GSBA has really taught campus security and public safety a lot. We have learned a lot, we have grown a lot, and it helps us to improve our practices and service. So we really appreciate your ability to communicate those issues to us so we can address those things and become better at what we do, making sure our students feel safe on campus. So, you know, every new president brings their own passion and vision to this position.
Mm-hmm.
What was yours? Did you meet it? And then what is one unique thing that listeners should know about their GSBA president? So again, we'll go back to what was your passion and vision when you took the position? You talked about that a little bit earlier,
mm-hmm.
but did you meet that goal? And then just share one thing that's unique that our listeners should know about their president.
Passion and vision for this role. I think when Taylor and I ran, we really wanted to focus on, so our three words that have been guiding us this whole year have been community, compassion, and courage.
Okay, three C's.
Yes, three C's.
All right.
The four C's COVID. unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
The four C has really made its way through.
For sure.
But the three C's are community, compassion, and courage. And those three things have really kept us grounded throughout the time that we've been in these positions and really been like check-ins, like, are we being compassionate with one another? Are we supporting our community? And are we being courageous in our actions?
Okay.
So I think that really speaks to like my passions, and like our shared passions, Taylor and I. But some of the things that we wanted to see happen is more student representation in spaces and in spaces where like decisions are being made, so in administrative groups. And I kind of was able to do that with President's Council. I have such a cool group of students who are so passionate and so ready to be in meeting spaces.
And tell us what President's Council mean. What does that mean to the average listener?
So President's Council is a group that I oversee that is a collaboration of about 10 different committees on campus. So I think we have around 25 students who are on President's Council who serve on anything from Academic Integrity Board to Academic Council to the Foley Library Advisory to Security Council to the Student Media Board and Athletics. So they just serve different points of campus and then the Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion as well. And they just serve different spaces on campus and are in different conversations. So it was really cool this year. I believe we have a full President's Council, which is exciting.
Okay.
All of the councils have student representation on it, which is something that's really needed, especially in a year like this, where there's so many different spaces for assessing where the gaps are, assessing what needs to be filled. And I think that's kind of how Taylor and I's year went, or that's kind of what our vision or what the outcome has been in the year, is assessing the gaps and being really fierce advocates for filling them.
Okay.
And doing the things that really need to be done to get there, having the conversations, although some of them can be tough, having the difficult conversations to get stuff done. So I think Taylor and I, 2 weeks ago or last week, actually had a conversation about this question, trying to think about like what we were able to accomplish in the time that we were in the roles.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to kind of the agreement or the thought that a lot of the things that we have accomplished are like ideological things or more like thought things or the way or ways things are being done, to where a lot of some of our experiences or a lot of some of the conversations that we had at the beginning of last semester were not super fun, very difficult conversations, and we walked out feeling maybe not as great, but then having that feedback conversation and be like, students should feel supported, or students should feel like they have like voices and stuff. So encouraging students to really advocate for themselves, but also encouraging the people who work with students, like departments, administration, to be more willing to have student voice, or be more like cooperative or compromising or collaborative with student voice. So making those spaces for students to fit in, and like really making sure that students are nurtured in those spaces, because I think at the end of the day, we're all here for students. It's a university.
Absolutely.
There are students here.
Absolutely.
But sometimes I feel like that can be lost in the day-to-day functions, and everyone's really busy. Everyone has a lot on their plates, but just remembering why we're all here.
Okay.
So that's like an ideological thing that we did, just having conversations, and then continuing the work that past GSBA administrations had done. I think there was a lot that we couldn't necessarily do due to COVID, so like event planning and stuff, but with that being said, encouraging staff and folks who program to really make programming that was accessible to folks who were remote, because not all of our student campus was on campus this year. Like, a lot of students were at home due to different circumstances, and how do we incorporate them? How do we really tap into that community and make them feel like they still are Zags just like anyone else? So that's really leaning to the community piece of our grounding words. And then the last part that I said leans into the courage, and then just compassion, the way that we work as a team, the way that like GSBA as an organization functions is with a lot of compassion for one another, but then also like the folks who are above us or like supervising us, having compassion for them and understanding that like, yes, we might have like a bad meeting or like a tough meeting, but like that person also like can have grace, or like understanding and not being let down, but using that as a force to continue to go on. And Taylor's been really great as a partner just in all of this work, and just reminding each other that there are going to be hard days and there are going to be hard meetings and hard situations, but just keeping that compassion as the undercurrent for our organization.
That's impressive. So tell us then, before I get to the last few questions here, what is one unique thing that listeners should know about their president?
Oh, man. One unique thing about me. I really like people.
Okay.
I think my favorite part of this position has just been getting to know people and getting to meet new people and work with them and build those relationships, like, and yeah, I just am really I'm really grateful. I don't know if I have any really exciting things, but it's just been an honor.
Yeah.
I think even on my toughest days, like, I'm just so grateful for the team I have and the things I've been able to do. And the conversations I've been able to be in, because I really hope that when I check back in on Gonzaga in a couple of years from now, like, things are rolling, are going well. And I have like a lot of belief in this place, and I have a lot of belief in the people who are working here, doing things, and a lot of gratefulness for them. So I hope that things, and I feel like things are gonna get better.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna be here for a minute, so I hope you do check back
in.
So Madam President,
yes.
You talked about these grounding words, your three C's, and listening to you and having this conversation today, I want to add a fourth C to that, and that is catalyst. And I think you have been a major catalyst for our student body during your presidency. So, to that question, what would you like your legacy to be? You know, what programs or issues are you leaving in good hands as you graduate? You're a senior. You know, is it Security Council? Is it the other work that you'll be doing? I know I have an affinity for Security Council, for you bringing that back. But what is your legacy? What does that look like? What are the programs that you're leaving in good hands that you can check back in on and know that they are still moving?
Taylor and I have been working on a food pantry We're trying to get a food pantry on campus to acknowledge the fact that, you know, I think when people think about a ZAG, they think about someone who's from, like, higher, upper middle class, socioeconomic status, like, able to just, like, spend a ton of money on food and such. And I think in the research that we've done and with the partnerships we've been able to make, we have realized that that's not the case. And there are students in the margins and there are students who need access to food. So we really want to see that come into fruition.
Okay.
We're really working with some student groups and some different organizations on campus to try and make that a thing, but the semester is coming to a close, so we'd love to see folks continue on that work, and we really want to put, at the end of the year, in a position where it either is, like, established or going to be established soon. And then I just want to touch on
that. That'd
be nice. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that food is something that is so integral to the whole care personalis thing.
The whole person. It's hard to
show up, and it's hard to be fully present if you are hungry.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't realize how important food is. And I think that that's a way that we can better serve our student community. So that was something that we were both really passionate about coming in.
Okay.
And then just touching more on the, like, ideological piece in which, like, how we interact with one another, how we support one another as an organization really matters. Because if we aren't passionate about the work that we're doing, if we're not, like, passionate about supporting one another within the organization, like, it's hard to support others outside the organization, or it's hard to really show up in those spaces. And then just in work with administration, just continuing to be fierce advocates for students.
Yeah.
And to continue to really advocate for diversity and inclusion efforts, and making spaces where ZAGs can also advocate and where ZAGs can also be included in those conversations. Because during our time in these positions, we made sure to acknowledge the fact that, like, I have a lot of privilege, Taylor has a lot of privilege, a lot of our team has a lot of privilege in being in spaces where we can have conversations with the president of the university or the provost.
But
not every student has the opportunity, so how can we channel students' voices and students' concerns in a way that makes sure that they are heard?
Okay.
And make sure they are also, like, being added into the framework of the things that we're doing. So always making sure to check in with folks and just not doing decisions or making decisions based off of, like, one person or one thought, but really trying to get in, like, a diverse view or perspective.
I love that. When you speak to having privilege, and it's not really a term that you really associate with a Black woman, particularly a Black woman leader, but when you do get to exercise that privilege of going to spaces that other students whom look like you wouldn't be able to access, are you then treated as a leader, or are you treated as a Black woman that they're in fear of getting angry? Does that make sense? And I hope that it's the treated as a leader. But I'm curious to see what you feel.
I would say treated as a leader. I've been lucky enough to. This isn't, like, my first time working with a lot of the administration on our campus. Like, I've been working with them basically since my freshman year. So I've gotten the chance to build a lot of those relationships over my time at Gonzaga. So I'm really grateful that I have the seat at the table and they, like, are, like, pulling the chair. Like, I have a space and they're acknowledging in that space. And I think that that's something that I, like, have been grateful to have gotten the opportunity to build up. But it also has been, like, a privilege in my position to where I've already established a lot of those relationships. And I think that those relationships are really crucial in getting some of the things that we've gotten to get done this year. And just, like, reminding the staff that, like, or our team that we have, that not every student is just able to shoot the president a text or like call the provost. And that's, like, something that
I didn't know you had it like that.
Like, not every student has, like, easy access to folks. So how do we advocate for those students, and how do we make sure those voices are heard, and how do we put students in those spaces? So being really intentional, and I think when I talk about privilege, it, like, is that intersectionality piece to where, like, yes, I'm a Black woman, I have this role, and being a Black woman in a leadership role is sometimes, like, an oppressive force.
Can be.
Because it's hard. It's really difficult.
Absolutely.
But then there's also, like, the privilege I have in my voice and, like, in my in the position I've been given, or like the belief that folks have had in me and Taylor to vote us into these positions.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of privilege in that, that like I think about a lot. So it's like, sometimes when I show up, I'm not just showing up for myself. I'm showing up on behalf of like the organization and the student body.
Love that. Love that. Yeah. So you're a senior. So you'll be graduating. Can I talk you into another 4-year term as president?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
I think 1 year is okay. I'm okay.
Understood. So, but to those listeners out there, what would you tell them, or how would you encourage them to get involved in GSBA? You know, when I was coming up and I heard about GSBA, it didn't look like Phil. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like Fase. So you've been encouraged by others, Caleb and Carlo. You said, how do you, and let's wrap this up by saying, how do you encourage the other students to get involved in a group like this? Because it does have impact. It does have an opportunity to make some changes in a university that sometimes can be a little stuck on old ways of doing things. But giving that voice to our students really helps them to understand that the system might not be working for everyone. And we need to look at making changes. So what would you encourage listeners and students to do?
Yeah, I would encourage folks to like think about what is calling them to want to be involved in student government. I think that student government is something that is very close to my heart, so I'm very biased on like encouraging folks to student government because it's been the best part of my Gonzaga experience.
Okay.
And it's just been so meaningful to me to get to be in a space with like-minded folks who are really motivated and passionate to do things on behalf or do things in the service or with other students in mind. So like lean into what is calling you to even think about being involved in that. And we have GSBA elections, we have GSBA positions that are open. And if you don't get something at first because you don't win an election or you don't get picked for a position, like don't give up.
Okay.
Continue to try. I didn't get it on the first or the second time that I tried out for it my freshman year, but I got it on the third time, and I'm so glad that I stuck with it. And don't lose sight of what it is that is encouraging you to be in this. And if you're passionate about students and if you're passionate about making this place a better place for folks, regardless of whether or not they look like you, just lean into that. And that's like a really cool thing that maybe not everyone feels or like feels like drawn to. So just channel that and use that to kind of guide you in your path to join the organization.
Wow. Yeah. Very good words. Madam President, thank you for your time. Thank you for being our inaugural interview in this podcast. And we wish you much, much success moving forward. And we hope you do check back in on us here at Gonzaga. We're going to miss you.
I'll miss all of y'all too. Thank you so much for having me on the ride along.
Thank you to all of our listeners for joining today's episode of The Ride Along. Please share, like, and subscribe to The Ride Along on Mixcloud or wherever you get your podcast. And until next time, Zags, we'll see you when we see you.